medicine specialist and appears to be feeling better today.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. It was the wildest thing I ever had.
It wasn't the wildest thing you've ever had.
No, I tell you it was wild. I tell you what came out of me yesterday.
Drew blew three.
That was wild.
Blew a clam bar out of his nose.
A fetus.
Yesterday.
No, it was a fetus.
Was it fetus?
Yeah. Fetus. Yeah.
Fetus followed by baby squid.
Placenta. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Isn't that kind of impressive, though?
Yeah. When something, like, giant comes out of your head, it catches your attention.
Yeah, you're like, geez, how'd I get up off the sofa with all this in my head?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what'd you do? You blow it out of both nostrils
no,
or just
one? No, this one. Right, left side.
Just the left side. Is that your blowing nostril?
That's my good one, yeah.
Most people have a good nostril?
For firing like that, yeah.
What nostril does your boyfriend use?
On me?
Yeah. He uses the left side? It's got a little extra lubrication.
A nostril.
Great. All right. Rob Zombie is our guest. And guess what, everybody? He's having a little difficulty finding the studio. So he's a little bit late. It's a problem that's never happened here before. We'll deal with that as it unfurls. He should be in here momentarily. And until Rob rolls in here, we will go to the phones. Natalie.
Hi.
Hey, you're 15. What's up?
Yeah, I called in last week on Thursday.
Okay.
I'm the chick that gave the guy the handgun in the back of the van.
Keep going.
Okay, he's blackmailing me now, and if I don't have sex with him, he's going to tell my mom and my dad about things I've done in the past.
Recap the story for those of us who don't remember.
Okay, about 3 weeks ago, we got born in the back of the van, so I decided to give him a hand job.
Oh, this was with his mom. And remember, the mom was driving?
Yeah,
I know. Right. I still, when I picture back of the van, I still picture a dark paneled Econoline from like 78. Yeah. I still don't picture that minivan.
Yeah, with the one window in the back with this
Dodge minivan.
All right.
Yes, quiet down. You were driving home from church with this 15-year-old guy. Your mother was driving or his mother was driving? His mother was driving. You gave him a hand job in the back of the van.
Yeah.
And now, what's going on?
See, he called me on Saturday and said that if I wasn't to screw him by this coming Saturday, that he's going to tell my mom and my dad about, like, my things I've done in the past, like smoking pot or going out to parties, you know, and just being really stupid.
And does he know your mom and your dad?
Yeah, he knows him pretty well. I've been friends with him for about 12 years.
Mm-hmm. And so you guys have been friends since you were three?
Mm-hmm. We grew up together in church.
Fantastic. See why you should go to church? And now he's going to then go up to your parents and say, guess what? First off, Dad, don't shake that hand. It's still got a little something on it. FYI, your daughter Natalie smokes pot, gives me hand jobs, and engages in all sorts of other amoral activity. No, he is not going to do that, Natalie.
Not. What's in it for him?
He's been it before to other people.
No, he will not do this. What is in it for him?
I don't know about the whole hand job, but...
He might. Your dad may kick his ass right on the spot.
Right. That's right.
He is not going to do this. Okay?
Do not give in to this BS. It's nonsense.
I just don't want him telling my parents about pot use.
First of all, consider the source. You think they're going to really pay a lot of attention to what this guy says? Secondly, why don't you just preempt this and just go tell your parents that this guy is blackmailing you, forcing you to have sex. You're scared. And then, believe me, if he comes anywhere near your household, they'll be calling the police, let alone listening to them. All right?
Okay.
All right. So, Natalie, if he calls again, explain to him that you already spoke to your parents and your dad is interested in talking to him.
Okay.
As soon as possible.
And I guarantee he'll not say anything. Listen, all you screwballs out there. Let me explain how blackmailing works. It must be feasible.
Yeah, meaning they must be able to not be reached by the person they're blackmailing. You know what I mean?
Yes. You know, what we get this all the time. Here's what we get. Some older cousin forces some younger cousin to perform oral sex on him at a family gathering.
Yes.
Then he says, listen, Junior, unless you give me another Hummer, I'm going to tell your mom and dad that you gave me a blowjob last summer at the reunion.
Yeah.
Now, who's going to get in more trouble?
That's right.
And what criminal is going to turn himself? It's essentially, it's like a criminal saying, listen, unless you give me all of the money from the bank robbery, I'm going to go into the cops and tell them you were with me when we robbed the bank.
Exactly. It's exactly.
Now, what are the chances of him going into the cops and explaining that this guy was with me when we robbed the bank? Zero.
Zero.
Right. He's just trying to play you for a fool and see if you'll cave in. Don't do it. Call his bluff. Jake.
Hi.
You're 16. What's up?
My girlfriend did ecstasy probably about 4 nights ago. And, like, while she did it, before she started to feel it, she kind of started to bleed like she was having her period. But, and she's been bleeding for, like, the last couple of days. And just today it had stopped, and we were doing stuff tonight, and I fingered her, and she got a really sharp pain down there and started crying, and then later tonight she just started bleeding again.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that it wasn't, like she was having her period. She said it was, like, a darker kind of blood and kind of gooey.
Is there any chance she's pregnant?
No, she's on the pill.
She's been taking it properly? And...
Hmm?
Oh, I had a great fact. Listen to this. Hang on 1 second, Jake. This is pertinent to what you're talking about. We've talked to people like Jake's girlfriend who got pregnant on the pill. They swore they took it the same time every day. And one, a pharmacist overheard us talking to a young caller who said, I know I take it at the same time every day because my beeper is set to alarm at 3 p.m. and I take it when the beeper goes off. Pharmacist faxed me and said, hey, if it's her beeper going off, it's probably in her purse. If she keeps her pills in her purse all day, it probably sits in her car or sits in these unreasonable environments, these hot environments where the pills can be neutralized.
They can by heat?
Yeah, or extreme heat or extreme cold. So people have to be aware. They've got to take proper care of these pills. And they've
never heard that brought up.
Isn't that interesting? I never thought to bring it up because I assume people keep it in their medicine cabinet and they keep it, you know, in neutral temperatures.
I think most women keep their pills in their purse.
Really? That's interesting.
Well, I don't know, actually. But I would assume, since they have every other goddamn thing under the sun in that purse, they'd keep their pills in their purse.
They shouldn't.
Also,
it's like keeping condoms in the glove compartment.
I think a lot of when you should keep them in the spare tire, like I do.
Around your waist?
All right, wise ass. I mean, in the back of the car. It is true, I have a space saver. The point is I think a lot of our listeners don't feel comfortable leaving stuff like that around because
right.
they have nosy parents, so they keep it on their person. Their person,
yeah,
as
yes.
it were. And do you really think that can have something to do with it?
Well, that makes perfect sense, yeah. I do.
But would it have to get to, like, you know, 270
no.
degrees?
90 to 100.
Really?
Yeah.
And that will neutralize these
things? Well, it will neutralize it, too strong a term. It will significantly, could potentially affect their efficacy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So that's
great,
it.
I thought that was great deductive reason. Hey, the beeper's in the purse, pills in
so
the purse.
So you should keep the pills in a humidor, right?
If you've got one.
Or wine cellar. Jake?
Uh-huh.
Well, she should get a pregnancy test.
Okay.
But the question is does the ecstasy have anything to do with the bleeding?
Yeah.
That's not a typical side effect, no. But look, the wind changing direction can make women bleed. So certainly something as powerful as a chemical could do it, too.
I took X once and had some rectal bleeding, but that was after a pretty thorough going over by
a few
guys.
Can you put that in the cart, please?
Thank
please.
You. Yeah, that's gonna pay off when I run for Senate. Brady?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, my girlfriend wanted to run away to Las Vegas and get married.
How old is she?
She is 15.
Mm-hmm.
Will they even allow that in Las Vegas?
I have no idea.
I don't think so.
No. You can gamble and you'll get some complimentary cocktails, but no, you cannot get married.
What is she trying to run away from?
Her parents.
What's the matter with them?
She's adopted.
And what's the matter with the parents?
Well, her parents, they're Catholic, so they're really religious.
And what's the matter with her parents?
I don't know.
Okay, are they beating her? Are they abusing her?
I don't think so, not that I know of.
Okay, why is she having such difficulty then?
I don't know. Her parents are just...
Have you met them?
She just doesn't like them because they're so religious.
Have you met the parents?
Yes, I have.
Any seem okay to you?
Yeah, I like them. They're really nice.
All okay.
Right. So something's up. What's up with her? What's she so...
Well, she's kind of weird. Since she was adopted, she just...
Well, stop blaming the adoption so much. There are plenty of well-adjusted adopted people out there. I mean, certainly they have special issues they have to deal with.
There's six of them. Yeah. Hey, Brady?
Yeah.
How old was she when she was adopted?
Good question.
She was probably two.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right. Is that bad?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not as bad as 9, is it?
It's bad.
Yeah, but it's not as bad. Hey, you're relatively young. I mean, she's been with these people for 13 years, hasn't been 3.5 years or something.
It turns out the real critical sort of abandonment stuff is like between like probably 8 months and 18 months.
Right.
And so it's right in there.
Okay. Hey, Brady?
Yeah?
Are you planning on going to Vegas with her?
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, I think you're going to have to kind of be there for her, but don't let her do anything stupid.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure she needs some counseling. I don't know what's up with her biological parents. Does she know them?
No, she said she's going to go try to find them.
Yeah, what does she have to go through for those 2 years? You know, giving up a 2-year-old is a little different than giving up a 2-day-old.
See if you can convince her not to look for her biological parents.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's always a disappointment.
Especially these. Think about this, giving up a 2-year-old.
Yes. I mean, most certainly there's somebody who's into substance abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be.
You couldn't tolerate it otherwise.
You have a 2-year-old, you have to be high in order to give up that 2-year-old.
Yeah.
Number two, it's never dad. Dad's God knows where. It's mom somewhere. And she's living on some sort of, government assistance in some flop house somewhere and turning tricks for hits of crank. Well, I got her life all mapped out, don't I?
It's rather colorful, beautiful.
Listen, my parents are fine, and if I went and met them, I'd be disappointed. You know what I'm saying? Jesus, Dad, you're short. Where'd you get that schnoz? You know what I mean? My mom has no sense of humor. You know, I'd probably kill myself.
I mean, you probably figured you were doomed.
That's right. Yes. Tina.
Yes.
You're 21.
Yes.
What's going on?
I wanted to ask y'all about a situation with a friend. We've been friends for 4 years, and we met in high school. She was a freshman, I was a senior, and it's a friendship, but it was more of like a mentoring type thing. She always had problems at home with her mom and her mom's boyfriends, etc. But now it's 4 years later, and I've cut off the friendship sort of abruptly.
Can you hold on one second? I didn't follow all that. Did you?
I don't care.
Thanks.
What do you mean a mentorship? Mentoring what?
Well,
they weren't as much friends as the... Yeah?
Yeah, it was sort of like a dual type thing. Her mom would kick her out of the house, and I'd give her advice. You know, we didn't really have a common friendship as I do with my other peers.
She was a project for you.
I guess.
Okay.
Made you feel good to try to take care of her.
I guess, if you want to say that.
All right, so now what?
Last year, her mom kicked her out. She lives in Austin with my boy. Well, in the same city as my boyfriend. Last year, I let her move in with my boyfriend for 2 or 3 months while her mom kicked her out.
No.
Her mom threatened suicide, so she moved back in with her mom. La-di-da, everything's fine.
My stepmom threatened suicide if I didn't move out. Exact opposite.
Yeah, almost did it, too.
Huh? Should have hung out another month. Yeah, so then she moved back in with her mom?
Yeah, so now a year later, 2 weeks ago, her mom kicked her out again.
Yeah.
And she moved back in with my boyfriend. I offered it. It's fine. Everything went well last time.
Yeah.
I know. I got some hassle from some people saying it's not going to work out.
What's in it for your boyfriend?
Well, half the rent is paid.
Yeah.
He's a very nice, loving person. Just, you know, very generous. We're both very giving and willing to give, you know.
Right.
Willing to help her because she's always needed
okay.
a lot of help.
Okay. All right. So she's out. How old is she?
She's 18.
She's 18. Well, she's quite a bit younger than you for you to be friends for all this time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you being, you know, 17, her being 14 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
All right. So, Tina, listen, she's clearly troubled. But what's your question?
Oh, boy.
There was, last weekend, there was problems that were caused. She had some stuff to drink, and then she went out and drive, and I got really upset.
Yeah.
You got really upset?
Yes, because, you know, drinking and driving is really stupid.
Right, right.
There was other things that went on. We fought. I asked her to leave my boyfriend's house. I abruptly ended the friendship. I feel like I'm deserting her. She doesn't have anyone else to rely on.
Okay, that's all right. Tough love.
Yeah.
Listen, you can't be dragged around by her. That's it. Let me explain friendships, everybody. It's a two-way street.
Mutuality.
Hey, you can help somebody out of a jam. That's what friends are for. But if you've helped them out of 10 jams consecutively and they're not doing anything for you, then that's not a friendship. That's a liability. Just because you've known someone for a few years doesn't make you the greatest of friends. And just because you've helped them a number of times doesn't create a bond necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bond.
Could be acting out.
Listen, you know, just because the cops show up at the same house five times and wrestle the gun away from the drunken husband doesn't mean they're best friends.
Right.
It's a relationship.
Yep.
It's not a good one. Get out of that, everybody. Please, all you young people, I cannot stress this strong enough. If you got some friend that's, like, not doing something you want, trying to bang away on your boyfriend or your girlfriend, attacking you, spreading rumors, whatever all these so-called best friends do, just dump them. Just move on. There's a lot of troubled people out there, everybody. And there comes a point where you got to take care of yourself. Right, Drew?
Right.
Michael?
Yes.
You're 24.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I wanted to have some of your advice. I think you guys are brilliant.
Thanks.
I listened to your show, and I think you're just brilliant. I went through, like, a metamorphosis in the last, like, 5 years. I was in a stable relationship. Well, you call it stable, you know. And I changed a lot. I used to be very troubled.
Let's see, let's call it a clingy relationship.
Okay.
Yeah, the clingy one.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out of the relationship about a half a year ago. And now that I'm a lot healthier mentally, you know, I've been in therapy, I'm in school now, and I'm doing much better in life. I'm having a hard time getting into dating and girls with this new image of myself.
Which is what? What's the difference? What's new?
I used to be really troubled. I was in a mental hospital when I was younger. I had a learning disability that nobody knew about. So doctors would tell me that I was lazy and stuff, and, you know, that I was rebelling against authority. And
turns out he was just no count.
It turned out I had attention deficit disorder.
Yeah.
Which is no big deal, but
when
you know there's something wrong with you and everyone tells you there isn't, it can affect you, I guess, when you're young, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And all the girls that I went out with at that age were like that. They were all very, very troubled girls. You know, the black lipstick, the whole thing like
mm-hmm.
that.
Right.
And I was very successful with, you know, being in that world with these girls. I slept with a lot of girls.
All right. So, listen, you got laid when you were a whack job.
Yeah.
Now you're normal.
Now I'm normal.
And you want to date normal girls.
I want to date normal girls. And no matter how hard I try, it seems like I come to school and I get in there and I know I'm aware of my, you know, what's going on because I'm in therapy and everything. So it's like I'm trying to avoid them and I'm trying to get to the healthy people. And it's so hard. And then I turn around and there's this girl that, you know, is like looking at me right and everything. And then it turns out she's like a screwball from the heavens. You know what
right.
I mean? It's like
screwballs still like you. They're still attracted to you. You still have that.
Still got that stink
that
on him.
Thing, yeah.
Well, let me explain something. First off, once you get to know any woman, they turn out to be screwballs. It's not a matter of which ones are screwballs and which ones aren't screwballs. It's a matter of degree.
Oh,
I mean, be honest here, Drew. They're all whacked to a certain degree. The question is
they're
how
whacked,
whacked are they?
They're whacked in a different way than men.
Yeah, but you know...
Men are whacked, too.
Here's the thing. Seriously, you think that you're dating somebody, you talk to them, you get to know them, they tell you a little something, they reveal a few truths, maybe there's a skeleton or two in their closet, and you think to yourself, oh, man, I got hold of another nut job. Then you move on to the next one, and turns out you got hold of a nut job. And then you talk to one of your friends about his wife or his girlfriend, and they tell you a little something over a few beers, and you realize they got hold of a nut job. And then you start to, then you go talk to your mom for a while and your grandma, and you realize, hey, they're all kind of nut jobs. Now the question is, it ain't a matter of finding a one on the one to ten nut job scale. It's a matter of finding like a five, because there really aren't that many true ones or twos out there. They've long since married producers. Well, or gone lesbian.
So saith Adam Carolla.
So the point is all these chicks may not be as nutty as you think they are, but they still may be attracted to you and your old ways, and you still may be attracted to them, because that's the last thing that goes. I mean, your dress changes, your grade changes, your work ethic changes, you maybe put down the crack pipe or the hash pipe, but you still... That attraction, that sexuality stuff, that's the last thing to go. That may be around for a while.
Yep.
You can wear 3 three-piece suits. and carry 5 attaché cases, and you'll still have some of that left in you, because that stuff gets carved in.
That is deep.
That is in. That stuff hides in the muscle.
And you're learning how to read that. You're learning how to embrace that part of yourself and understand how other people respond to it. But you also have to understand what it is and how to get what you need and how to be more healthy.
When you're 24, you're going to therapy. Yeah. It'll work its way out.
Yeah, I agree.
Another 35 years.
At least.
All right, Rob Zombie is here. So we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back, and we'll talk to Rob Zombie.
I was having some emotional problems, feeling down, much more tired.
Cindy Selengardi of Woodland Hills, California is one of thousands of people who get emotional and physical support from Harmonex.
Harmonex keeps me emotionally balanced, more energetic.
Drug-free Harmonex contains a unique combination of St. John's wort, clinically shown to help keep spirits up, and Siberian ginseng to boost physical vitality.
Thanks to Harmonex, I feel great.
Harmonex from SunSource for emotional and physical well-being naturally. Use only as directed. For more information, visit www.harmonex.com.
Did you pack underwear?
Check.
What about socks?
Check.
Vibrator?
Check. It's for my back.
Of course it is.
While you're listening to the best new music on the net at firstlook.com, enter the Your World Tour sweepstakes. You could win a trip for two to New York, London, and Sydney to see 3 concerts of your choice. We'll give you plane tickets, hotel rooms, and spending money. All you have to do is decide what you're going to pack. Enter to win the Your World Tour sweepstakes and listen to the latest music online at firstlook.com.
Hi.
Organic foods are moving into the mainstream. No longer do you have to search out a health food store to find organic products. And at Trader Joe's, you don't have to pay exorbitant prices to enjoy organic foods. This is Ira Cohen of Trader Joe's. Organic is a term that describes a holistic approach to growing crops and processing and handling foods. Because of the additional costs of bringing organic products to market, most organic foods are far more expensive than their conventional counterparts. But we work closely with several organic producers to provide organic foods at prices comparable to conventional. For instance, we sell half gallons of organic low-fat or non-fat milk for $2.19. No hormones, no antibiotics, no pesticides. Just pure milk from happy, organically fed cows. For the location of the Trader Joe's nearest you, please dial 1-800-SHOP-TJ's. That's 1-800-SHOP-TJ's. Thanks for listening.
Hi, it's Kennedy. If I told you someone would pay you to lie on your back a few hours a week, you would probably say, oh my goodness, Kennedy, there are laws against that. Well, in this case, it's actually encouraged. I'm talking about being a plasma donor at Saratech. Okay, before you freak out, please listen to the facts. You can earn $50 your first week as a new donor and $40 a week after that simply by donating your plasma up to twice a week at Saratech. It doesn't hurt, and it's exactly like giving blood. But Kennedy, can I contract HIV by donating plasma? No, no, no. All plasma donations are given in a highly controlled, sterile environment. Donating plasma is safe. All applicants are carefully screened for health problems. And to find out more, just call Saratech in Seattle at 624-7928. You only need proper ID and proof of residence. But Kennedy, what's in it for me? I already told you. Money. And the satisfaction of knowing you're helping others. Call Saratech to see if you qualify. 624-7928. 624-7928.
Marion Ross with an important message about memory loss.
Playing the role of a person with Alzheimer's made me realize how little we know about memory loss. If you're having memory problems, you may be able to help us by taking part in a memory impairment investigational study, looking at ways to delay the onset or slow the progression of Alzheimer's. It may not give us all the answers, but it can give us hope.
Participants need to be between the ages of 55 and 90, have a clear memory problem, but still be able to function in daily life, and have a friend or loved one who can serve as a companion throughout the study. For more information, call 1-888-455-0655 or visit our website at www.memorystudy.org. That's 1-888-455-0655. Or www.memorystudy.org.
We all have a part to play in ending memory loss.
This is Loveline on Outrageous Talk Radio 100.7 The Buzz.
right, it is the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam Goldberg, the fine actor, will be in here tomorrow night. He's a good guy. And tonight we have Rob Zombie. Rob has a couple of things to talk about. I guess we'll just start at the top. He has got a maze that he has designed over at Universal Studios, the thrilling chilling of Rob Zombie. It's a maze that, well, tell us, how do you go about designing a maze? Halloween
it
maze.
It was pretty easy because I've always... You know, obviously loved Halloween, and I would always go to these mazes that they set up at like Knott's Berry Farm and Universal and everywhere. And I always check out like ones just like high school kids would put together.
Right.
So it was one of those things. It's like a walkthrough maze built on a soundstage. So I basically, you know, I just try to think of what would.
Is there a story as you go through, or?
Well, yeah, I tried because I figured since they came to me, they wanted to somehow have something to do with me, and I didn't just want to put my name on something that was me. You know, it didn't matter. So I tried to base it around the record in the sense that each room is loosely based around a song, but so loosely that it doesn't matter. I mean,
you know, the music is playing throughout?
No, it's like, you know, it works just as like a scary maze. If you're a fan, you might see things that you recognize, but I didn't want to make it so specific that if you're not a fan that it wouldn't work, so it works on any level. It's really just supposed to be scary haunted house.
Right? And you're out there sometimes and sometimes you're not, right?
I mean,
in terms of maybe you might get a wild hair and go out there and put a mask on and scare the crap out of some foreigners or something, and then go back home?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, the fun of doing it, the reason I mainly wanted to do it so that I could actually be inside of it, you know, and scare people.
And is there, I find the best mazes use real like cow guts and stuff, you know, like stuff that's actual right. Fleshy, meaty, livery. Yeah, that kind of stuff. You use any of that stuff?
Yeah, there's a lot of guts and stuff, and the best thing that gets the best reaction are the chainsaws.
Yeah, how's that work?
That, you know, they just have chainsaws that obviously don't have the cutting part on it, but the rest is all real, and...
But they're making a ton of noise, and there's guys,
Yeah, when you just whip it out and rev it and shove it in somebody's face, they just lose it.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. It's funny, though. You know, the thing that's funny about a Halloween-type maze is, what are you expecting? You know what I mean? Like, you walk down this dark corridor, all of a sudden there's a big guy, he's got a leather hood on, he's waving a chainsaw around, and you're like, oh, my God!
Yeah, well, what happens, too, is they sell alcohol in the park.
Oh, okay.
So most of the people are pretty drunk, and I think they think it's going to make it more fun. But the first thing that we have when you go in the maze is like a... There's a giant... The whole front of the facade is like this 40-foot thing of my head. And you walk in through the mouth.
Right.
But there's like a spinning tunnel you go through.
Right.
It's really, you know, really disorienting. It's like the $6 million man tunnel they had at Universal that then became like the Battlestar Galactica tunnel.
Became like the ice tunnel
something. Yeah, Dante's Peak tunnel or a volcano tunnel.
Right.
But then you get all these drunk people trying to, you know, they think the floor is flying back and forth and it's not even moving, and they're like falling over and crawling and crying and trying to grip things. And
that's got to feel good.
So once they go through that, they're so disoriented that when the chainsaws come, it's all over.
All right. Well, this is good. And then Rob, for those who don't know it, is not only into the music, but cartoons and animation and sort of what you call a real artisan and an entrepreneur. You want scary. I got a letter from my dentist. He sends it every year inviting me to his Halloween party. Oh. And I think to myself, first off, I'm not going out to Burbank between 2 and 4:30 on a Wednesday to hang out in the reception room and eat caramel corn. But the thing that's really scary, and the thing he hates me bringing up, is I always tell him, listen, you work at a dentist's office. It don't get any hairier than that. Don't worry about the
Halloween
goblins.
Every day, yeah.
Every day is Halloween. And forget about Halloween. It's Vietnam.
It's Marathon
Beirut.
Man.
Yeah. Listen, you screwing up my root canal could never be outdone by any amount of jack-o'-lanterns or skeletons. That was the scariest day of my life.
Or hell, chainsaws.
Chainsaw doesn't compare to you effing up my root canal, which is a true story.
Or giving you a root canal wearing some kind of big, goofy monster gloves that he thinks are cute for Halloween.
So that is what's going on at the dentist office. That's what's going on at Universal Studios. And there's just three nights left of that. Is that right, Rob, starting tomorrow?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And then it's all done.
All right. And also, Rob has a CD that's coming out tomorrow, American Made Music to Strip By, which is a remix, correct?
Yeah, it's a remix record of all. We remixed the entire Hillbilly Deluxe record.
And what's different about the remix?
The remixes are all done by different people, like guys from Nine Inch Nails and Rammstein. And, you know, they're totally different. I mean, I didn't want to just put it in. They're not slightly different. I mean, if we farmed out them to everybody. And whatever, right. We just took the ones that were the most extreme and had nothing to do with the original record, really. So it kind of works as a whole new record,
and how does
sort
it,
of.
How does it work in terms of who gets what song? Do you farm that out to them, or do they pick a song they like?
People, you know, I think that most of them requested songs that they thought they could do the best job at.
Right.
Because different remixers are better at different things.
All right, we'll hear something off of that coming up real soon. Until then, we'll go back to the phones. Alicia?
Yep.
You're 27?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, here's the deal. I have a son who's 3 and a half, and for the last year, he's really kept a lot of attention on his genitals. I mean, he pulls on it, he yanks on it, and I want to know how early you started, Adam. Is this something that I'm going to walk in the bedroom one day and catch him doing it, tell him to go take out the trash or something?
I didn't start. You mean seriously? I mean, when did I turn professional?
No, well, not necessarily. He's not professional. He don't. I mean, he pulls on it, he yanks on it, he's always got his hand on it.
Yeah, that's normal for that age.
Yeah, I don't remember where my hand was when I was 3, but I'm guessing it was somewhere around there. Listen, when you don't drive, you know, you're limited to the range of a big wheel, and you can't operate a computer or anything. That's it. That's all you got. I mean, your junk is basically, that's your life for about 5-6 years.
Home entertainment.
That's it. Yeah, you can't program the VCR.
Until he gets a Super Nintendo with a joystick.
Right.
Got nothing.
That is it.
I've still got a few years left of this.
Is it just that you're worried he's going to turn out like Adam?
Well, also another thing, too, is it going to hurt him later on? I mean, pulling on his nutsack and stuff like that all the time?
I mean, no. It shouldn't be.
It'll pale in comparison to his mother using the term nutsack in terms of damage.
Yeah.
The physical damage to a scrotum can be repaired. The emotional damage of his mother calling it a nutsack will never come clean.
And in about 10 years, you will walk in on him doing something that...
Oh, probably, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll just make sure the door's shut, just keep walking by?
I don't know. Let's take a vote on this. Should mom sit down and go, hey, you know?
I don't know. No, you'll freak him out. Alicia, the guy's 3.
Yeah.
I don't start planning for his masturbation already.
Cut the kid a little slack.
This is the first one, and I have another boy who's 1 and a half, and I don't know any other men with a lot of experience. I figured I'd call you two, Norm.
All right. You call us in about 10 years.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Or certainly he will be calling.
I hope to Christ I'm still not on this show in 10 years. Hey, Alicia?
Yeah?
Call in 10 years. If I pick up, I want you to come over here and shoot me.
Okay.
All right?
Okay,
scarier than any Rob Zombie maze. me being here in 10 years.
It's true.
Jesus Christ, she's like ready to start scotch guarding things, put a barrel bolt on the kid's door. So he's 3. Let him yank on himself for a little while before you freak him out. All right, where are we going here, Drew? Andy.
Yes.
You're 16?
Yeah.
You're on with Rob Zombie.
Hey, Rob Zombie.
Hey.
Loved you in Astro Creep 2000, man. That was the best.
Thanks.
Yeah, I've been hearing rumors about, like, McFarlane Toys is going to make, like, a Rob Zombie doll, like the Ozzy Osbourne one and all that. Is that true, or?
Yeah, it's true. It's, I don't know when that's going to come out, but it's already been done.
It's been done?
Yeah, I've seen the prototype for it, and it's pretty cool.
Really?
I think it'll come out sometime after Christmas.
Is it like an action figure?
Yeah. It's like a Spawn-type action figure.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, the thing that's always good about those is real big arms and thin waist, you know?
Yeah, a little tiny head.
They do that? They give you those big guns and that little waist?
No, it's ridiculous, but it's not, you know.
You know
it's not like He-Man.
What's that, Andy?
What was that?
Do you know the cost on it, what it might be? Or?
I think they're like $10 or something.
Cool.
Something can you like afford that, Andy?
Oh, yeah.
All right. You have other dolls?
Oh, I have an Ozzy Osbourne and some Kiss ones.
Okay, Andy.
Yeah.
I want you to promise me something.
What?
You don't make that Rob Zombie do anything weird.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
All right.
He's getting a little old for that, isn't he?
Yeah.
Amon?
Amon.
Amon.
Yeah, I'm calling from Boston.
All right. You're 16. What's up?
I just want to say I'm a big fan. been a big fan of White Zombie for quite a while. And I was wondering, what direction is your music going to be heading? And I know a lot of bands are going towards more of a techno thing. If you're going to stick with that or go back to more of a metal like White Zombie?
Kind
of feel of the music.
I don't know. I mean, everybody seems to think that for some reason now it's more techno-y and White Zombie was somehow more metal when really the records were made the exact same way and it's pretty much the same exact thing going on. I think people just think something different. So, but whatever. I don't know what it's going to be, you know. The fun of doing it is you don't know what you're doing. You just start making it and whatever it is. So I don't really have the plan yet.
What influences your music currently?
Nothing really. I mean, after a point, you just kind of do your own thing, and you're kind of in your own bubble.
Yeah, you've been in the business for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really hear that much stuff. I guess things influence it, but you don't know how after a while.
Hey, let me explain something, Amon.
All right.
Your brain basically seals shut about 15, and that's it. I mean, you hear stuff you like, you meet people you like, once in a while you read a book you like, but it doesn't change you, it doesn't influence you.
It sounds like Black Sabbath have like influenced a lot of bands.
Right, Rob was listening to that when he was 13.
Yeah?
That's during the influence days.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when I listen to Alice Cooper when in the third grade, that's pretty much where the influences began.
Yeah. I was wondering, you're from Haverhill originally?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I grew up part of my life in North Andover, right by there. I've met a lot of people that have claimed to know you.
Yeah, don't believe them.
No, I don't.
Well, I had no friends, and I can't remember anyone's name, so I think they're probably lying.
All right, Amon.
All right, thank you.
All right, take care of yourself. All right, let's see if we can get in one more call before we go to break. Nikki?
Hi.
You're 26.
Yeah.
What's up?
I'd like to thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
First of all, and I'd also like to thank the doctor for accepting my poem onto his website. I talked to you on Fox News a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh,
I really appreciate
pleasure.
It.
That was really very nice.
She wrote a nice poem?
Yeah.
Yeah, I sent you a copy, too. I don't know if you ever got it.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Where'd you send it?
I sent it through K-Rock.
Oh, yeah, they don't give me stuff.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't reach you through the Loveline fax line.
I owe them money, so until I pay up, I don't get my mail.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, Nikki, what's up?
I've been suffering from a really bizarre form of insomnia. What happens is sometimes when I'm in a deep sleep, I'm awakened by this, like, seizure-like sensation. I feel like somebody's touching me. And the bizarre thing is, like, when I wake up out of my sleep, I suffer from stomach aches and or really bad headaches when I'm awakened.
Somebody had done some stuff to you, if I remember correctly, right?
A what?
Somebody had done some stuff to you at one time?
Yeah.
What'd they do?
Everything.
And was that at night when you were asleep? Would they start with it?
Yeah.
Okay, so it makes sense, right, that you still have some remnant.
Is this your dad?
Yeah, because sometimes it's weird. It feels like somebody's laying behind me, and then I'll just jump up out of my sleep. I was wondering,
it's real common for people with that kind of history to have these sorts of
experiences. I didn't know if it was, like, psychological or neurological or what.
Well, you know, when you've had long-standing recurrent traumas, it becomes neurologic, doesn't it? I mean, the changes are so profound in your brain and your thinking. In your experience, that it actually etches in a certain biology.
Oh, my gosh.
Part of that is the memory of the tactile experience, of the sensory experience.
Oh, I mean, this has got to be like being in Vietnam for 5 years.
Right.
Your dad coming into your room and doing stuff to you?
Right.
I mean, how old were you when he started this?
About 4. I hadn't even started school.
Yeah, that's going to leave a mark.
I mean,
have you got any counseling for that?
On and off. I find it very hard to talk about even when I'm with a counselor. I usually drop out. That kind of led into another question I had about the Las Encinas Hospital in Pasadena.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know you're on staff there, Dr. Pinsky, and I was just wondering what kind of program.
Give his home number out while you're at it, Nikki. Jesus Christ.
What kind of program they have?
Yeah, for people like me, like the inpatient program.
For chemical dependency or for psychiatric?
Or for, like, emotional problems.
It's the way the medical system is these days. It's You have to have had some sort of acute decompensation that requires hospitalization. Something that,
what's an acute decompensation?
Something either makes you,
doing that.
Makes you either a danger to yourself or others. Sounds familiar, Adam. And
because I yell at the producers every once in a while,
or
they deserve it.
Or somehow, you know, unable to function, or some.
Okay.
Some major
Listen,
symptoms that prevent
Nikki's
you.
Nikki's got to get back into therapy, and she's got to stick with it, and this has to be topic number one at the therapist.
Lots of seen as an outpatient program, too, that you might want to look into that sort of, again, structures your day, creates groups throughout the day, and gives you a chance to process some of this material in a very, in tolerable doses. And so there's a lot of stuff to deal with here.
Okay.
For you.
But her, if she's going into therapy and sort of avoiding the father molestation topic,
forget it.
That's not serving her well at all.
No,
she's got to do that, and then that's the cause of it, right?
Oh, sure.
And how can you ever?
Yeah.
How are you supposed to sleep? And of course, she's describing basically what she experiences as a 4-year-old. We'll take a little break. That's the Real House of Horror. I was forget about the maze there, Rob. You just have me and Drew sit on a folding chair and explain. Listen, you realize how many people were molested? And we'll send people running out of Universal Studios vomiting and screaming. There'll be no lights, no sound effects, no nothing.
I believe you.
It'll be real life horror. All right. Rob Zombie's our guest tonight. We will take a little break. And when we come back, we will talk to William, who has never ejaculated during masturbation. He wants to know if that's a problem.
Another Loveline transition.
He's a tender 15 right? years old. That's right. We'll get to that after this. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Rob Zombie is our guest tonight. You can go over to Universal Studios and run through Rob's maze, possibly vomit on some of your friends and family. And that is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be the last 3 nights of that. And you may even run into Rob, although you probably won't recognize
him. You won't recognize me, but I should say get your tickets because it's selling out, I found out today, and they're going to actually limit the amount of people because it's becoming so insane.
Is it in the Universal Studios, not at the City Walk?
It's actually in the park.
Yeah.
My maze is in a soundstage where you wouldn't normally be able to go, but the other ones are set up like in the actual park.
But to go to your maze, do you have to be pay admission to the park first?
Yeah. Well, I forget how it works. I mean, because it's only at night, so
right.
I think they clear out the park during the day and then they reopen it.
Huh.
But it's a madhouse. I mean, there were people waiting in line 2 hours just to get on the tram to get up to the gate. Because, you know,
it gets a little 14,000
cars and 7,000 parking spaces.
Well, the problem with the Universal Studios as far as crowd goes is you're not just dealing with L.A. and Orange County. You're dealing with, like, Zurich.
The world, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
insane.
You got parts of Taipan in there. And the thing that's funny about, a little disconcerting, you know, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but at Universal Studios, where you park, there's like when you go to the zoo, you can park in the zebra section or the elephant section or the kangaroo section. Now, they're real smart that way. Like, somehow you're going to remember kangaroo better than you're going to remember lot L.
Yeah.
You just end up getting drunk at the park, screwed up, and lost. But last time I was there, I parked in the celebrity section, you know, and there's all these old-time Marilyn Monroe section. I park right under the James Dean's sign, and I think I'm looking up at the sign, I'm looking down at my car, and I'm thinking, didn't this guy buy it in a car? And if so, maybe that's not the greatest omen. He just got done parking the James Dean section. The guy was decapitated when he flipped his Porsche.
Well, next time you can park in the Jurassic parking they have now.
Oh, now that's better.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
I took my kids to the City Walk this weekend, and we parked in one of those parking lots on the hillside there.
Yeah.
And the Marvel Mania restaurant, which is what they love, has closed. And
yeah.
I grab one of the park people. I go, what's going on? And they go, oh, this parking lot, Marvel Mania, it's falling off the cliff. It's sinking. We're going to have to close the whole thing down and tear it down.
God.
Okay, my car is out there now. This is great.
Thanks for
the
info.
The car's been quarantined. William?
Yeah.
All right, so you're 15.
Yep.
And you've never ejaculated.
Yep.
Yeah. That can happen at 15. Most guys are on their way by 15, but not all guys.
Yeah, it's just weird. I don't know.
No.
No, it's all right.
It'll happen.
You ever had one of those nocturnal emissions?
What's that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, night.
Where it happens by itself at night?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this will happen too eventually.
So you've had that at night.
Yeah.
All right. Everything works.
Your partner, Adam's partner in the man show, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Told me a story. This is actually on my website. If you interview with him.
Christ.
Nothing with you, Adam. Where he at 15 became convinced he should be able to produce, as William evidently has become convinced he should, and basically rubbed his penis raw. I mean, turned it into like a swollen mushroom.
He's claimed he's ground it down. I don't believe him. Is that possible?
He hadn't yet at that point. He actually caused it to swell up, and he had to hide it from his dad. He said he went to the gym or something with him, and it was like this. It was deformed. It became a raw piece of sort of vegetable.
Yikes!
So one cannot actually erode one's penis.
No. You could, but
it takes a lot of work.
Listen, there's a few mistakes a lot of rookie masturbators make around 14, 15, 16. The one mistake that all guys make is...
There's a book here.
I really should write a book, yeah. The Do's and Don'ts. First off, every guy knows the heartache of trying to squeeze one off with a handful of Prel in the shower, and then paying dearly later on that night when the chafing and burning sets in.
Well, I imagine there might be just a whole sort of list of...
There are.
Yeah.
They're do's and don'ts.
Of lubricants and reactions. I mean...
The problem is it takes you a good 5 years to figure out what you can and can't put on your penis. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you learn that, dandruff shampoo and mouthwash, that's a no-no.
That's just the point, though. If you would just save the young man from this eventuality...
Right. I don't think I need to write an entire book, but certainly a pamphlet.
Yeah, a pamphlet or something for Vanity Fair article or something, yeah.
Well, I don't know if they're going to get hold of that, but something I could put in the nurse's office at school.
Okay.
Picture of me dropping the dandruff shampoo and the mouthwash into the garbage can. And you're right, right. I think we use, like, Harvey
Monkeys
the elephant or something.
Their bananas.
Yeah, that's right. This is good. This is turning into something.
It's Roger Rhino. Come on.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, if any publishers are listening, I think we got a real idea here. Jessica?
Uh-huh.
You're 13. What's up?
Hi, Rob.
Hello.
Oh, my God. I'm your biggest fan. Oh, my God. Okay. I was just wondering, is it true that you're making a movie?
Well, not making it yet. I'm still working on it, but yeah, it's true.
Really, can I be in it?
All right. You're going to play the lead.
Oh, my God.
We need a part of a hysterical phone caller.
No, I went to your Universal thing on Friday, and oh, my God, it was the happiest day of my life.
Did you go through the maze?
Yes.
Was it scary?
Well, it wasn't scary to me because, it was you, but it was just the happiest day of my life. I was at the Igor Awards, and, like, oh, you heard me. You yelled out thank you when me and my friend said we love you, Rob.
That was a guy who was standing in for Rob. He's getting $7 an hour.
Oh, my God, it was the happiest day of my life.
Was it a thrill running through Rob's mouth to get into it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like a camera station followed us into the maze, but then we accidentally went out the wrong way, so we lost them. So we were on TV for something. I don't know.
All right. Hey, Jessica, let me ask Rob about this movie. All right.
Uh-huh.
All right. You okay? You done?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. You listen.
Yeah,
okay.
Is this a movie you're writing?
Yeah, I'm writing it and I'm going to direct it.
Horror movie?
Yeah, pretty much. Kind of like a, not so much like, kind of like on the lines of a. Deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some kind of redneck hillbilly style backroads nightmare.
And is it going to take place out in some swamp somewhere or something?
I might film it in Arkansas because I know people that live there and they're...
You got some of the... Can you give us some of the storyline?
Not really. The whole thing the cat kind of got out of the bag real early. I was like... Had one meeting about it. I mean, it's all in the works and it's all going to happen, but I had one meeting about it 6 months ago and... By the time I got home, I saw the MTV news piece about it. Everyone's already, and I wouldn't have told anyone yet because I just want to work on it, not talk about it. But somehow, Kurt Loder knew about it.
Well, he's
that was
everywhere.
The end of that.
Well, I think in terms of horror movies or mystery movies, sometimes I think they outsmart themselves with special effects and stuff blowing up. I always like the guys trapped out in the swamp, like three guys trying to make it back somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, like that Southern Comfort or something like that. You never saw that movie, Drew, I know, because it came out between 1975 and now. I mean, I know.
Never heard of it.
I know you've never actually done it. But I love that. It just... out in the elements trying to make it. There was that movie with Anthony Hopkins and Michael, what the hell,
the
with
Edge.
The big grizzly bear was going to eat him. Just stuff where sort of Baldwin, man against all that.
Alive.
All that good, like Jeremiah Johnson and Man in the Wilderness and Alive and just all that.
Oh, you see that movie Breakdown with Kurt Russell?
Yeah.
That was
a good one, too.
When it's simple, then it's scary because then people can imagine it happening. But when it's just some overblown nonsense, you just, just zone out because...
The guy's rappelling down the Sears Tower, and he fires the machine gun that blows the window out that lets him slide through the boardroom table and take the guy out. And it's like you get desensitized
or
5 minutes into it. You
morphs into some ridiculous creature. Yeah. I mean...
No, this is good.
You know, some guy's chasing you with a dirty... pillow sack on his head is much scarier than some kind of like winged monster flying out of someone's butt.
That's real life. All right, we will take a little break. So I think we did get the plot out of Rob after all. Guy with the dirty pillow sack on his head chases you through the woods. All right, we'll be back.
Added sound effects just so it would be like a loud sort of sickening noise going.
Right.
Because, you know, I didn't think that you could be scared of... Kind of like what we were saying about horror movies. I don't know if we were saying it on the air on the break, but... You know, how can you be scared if all of a sudden there's like a popular rock song comes on in the middle of some horror movie? Kind of takes you right out of the horror.
It is true, yeah. It is funny, even on, sometimes I watch TV and I see a commercial and they go, they'll go, see Cheech and Don Johnson coming up on Nash Bridges. And I think to myself, wait a minute, you a-holes. Who's Nash? That's Don Johnson? Now I got to think about him banging Melanie Griffin. You know what I mean? It's like, stay in character for me, would you?
Yeah.
Don't yell Cheech and Don getting together again. I mean, when did she start calling herself Cheech and Don during the show? You're ruining it.
No one would even notice or care.
I know they wouldn't, but it's to me, you have to at least attempt to keep a certain element of realism there.
Oh, yeah. The best I like in movies is when it's a period film with contemporary music as the soundtrack.
Right. It's funny, like, when you watch, like, westerns from the 50s and the guys have a handful of pomade in their hair and their hair slick back, or you see a western from, like, the 60s or 70s, guys wearing a paisley vest. Yeah, and
it's like Ricky Nelson in Rio Bravo.
Right, he's wearing bell-bottom jeans, you know, with his boots. It's funny how if they just flavor it a little of the time, they figure you're not going to take notice. All right, when the Romans wear digital watches, that's where I draw the line. Mike?
Yeah?
You're 14. What's up?
Well, my girlfriend, she's been spreading rumors about me to my friends that aren't true.
All right.
Like, what happened was I was going out with her, and then I broke up with her, and then she's going out with one of my acquaintances who's kind of in my circle of friends.
Yeah.
And she's telling him bad things about me, and he's telling my friends bad things about me.
Like what?
Like he was talking about, or, like, her new boyfriend.
Yeah, like what kind of bad things?
I know. He was talking about how, like, I slapped her and stuff like that, and now my, like, friends aren't hanging out with me as much as anymore.
Did you hit her?
No, I never hit her.
Uh-huh.
Like a total lie.
Okay. And did you really, you don't really care to hang out with her anymore, right?
No, I'm like, I don't want to have anything to do.
And the new boyfriend's just an acquaintance of yours, right?
Yeah.
And so you don't care about him too much.
No.
So what's the big deal here for
Where are you losing?
But he's like good friends with my friends.
Yeah, but your friend wouldn't believe him, would they?
But they are for some reason.
All right, but how good of friends are they?
I don't know.
Some girl, how long did you go out with her for?
For like 3 months.
So you go out with this girl for 3 months and your good friends are taking her side?
I don't know what to say.
Something's missing from the story. Either they're mad at you about something else.
Well, I don't know. I've been kind of like out of it lately.
How come?
Because like my grandma just died.
Ah.
And I haven't been hanging out with my friends as much.
Okay. Well, that may be more the issue. And nothing another 14-year-old likes more than another peer in pain.
Right.
Start taking their own ass out on.
Yeah, that's true.
So they may be sort of leaning on you a little bit because they sense that you're in trouble.
Yeah, but Mike, you look them in the eye and you say you didn't do it. And then what do they say?
I did a couple of times and they just look at me and walk away.
All right, well, then they're not your friends anymore.
It's also Mike, good training for the future because your friend's lying about you.
Yeah,
you know,
Mike,
so something's going to keep happening.
It sounds like you're getting a little depressed, right? Yeah, and people your age get kind of freaked out, don't know how to handle people when they're depressed. They sort of push them away.
Yeah.
And that hurts even more, especially at your age when you really, really need your friends. I would suggest you find somebody who is a good friend, who you believe you can trust, and just let them know what's going on with you more sincerely. And as far as how the group behave, just don't worry about that right now.
Yeah, you know, kids are great. They have ability to do what I like to call piling on. They see a guy's down, see a guy's hurting, see a guy's getting screwed. I mean, just think about a kid. I was just talking about this with somebody last night. Think about your normal kid and how they react to this. The teacher says to some 10-year-old, "Hey, Billy, I want to talk to you after class." And, you know, that's in 2 hours. What does every single one of his friends say to him? Oh, you are
you're
screwed.
In trouble. Yeah.
You are busted. Busted. Billy is busted.
Like, what did you do?
Oh, you are so screwed. And then, like, Billy will be like, I didn't do anything. I don't know. It's probably nothing. No. No way would she. Think about that impulse,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And think about 100% of 10-year-old boys and how they're going to react to that.
100%.
Busted.
Yeah.
Busted. And then sometimes you run into an adult.
Yeah.
Who has that in them?
Oh, yeah.
And there's quite a few of them out there.
Yeah.
It's very sad to see this, but it's very true. And they do that, too. And then whenever I hear an adult doing that, I think to myself, geez, why is this adult doing this? And then I think to myself, maturity-wise...
They're 10.
Well, that's like the adult when you're in a restaurant and the waiter drops something and then there's an adult that claps. Like you,
right.
Like you used to do in the cafeteria when
right.
Somebody drops something and they're like, hey! And you're like, moron. Claps in Denny's because the guy dropped a plate.
There's a guy in his 40s. He's going, smooth move, X-Lax!
Exactly.
Yeah, it's true. And it's weird. Once in a while, I see like adults. Like I'll see a guy and he's like 28 years old, and he's got more crap stuck on his car, and he's got like just a bunch of junk stuck on his car, and he's playing some Backstreet Boys blaring out of it or something. And I think to myself, the guy's 27. Why does he look like an idiot? Why is he doing this? And then I think, I would have been into that when I was 14 or 15. And then I think, wait a minute, that's where he is. I mean, he may be 27. His driver's license may say 27, but if we looked at his emotional ID, it'd probably say 14. And that's why he thinks that real long ponytail with the short cropped hair is a good look. And that's why he's sporting a mullet and he thinks he's looking good. You know, that's what that is. There's people out there walking around that are technically adults.
The same guy that dumps the retarded kids' books.
It's right.
The same guy that's going to rear end your car because he thinks you. Cut him off.
Right, right. All right. Oh, it's a sad life. Nick?
Yeah?
You're 16. What's up?
Actually, to tell you the truth, I don't live in New York like your little teleprompter says.
Oh, it doesn't say that.
Oh, okay.
Rob, would you confirm that, please?
No, it says New York.
All right. Nick?
Yeah?
I'm going to put you on hold for a little while longer because I felt some condescension in the little teleprompter line that you used, all right? All right, and especially because you're 100% wrong, we have no idea where you're calling from. I'm going to let you think let you think about your tone and your attitude for just another minute, all right?
Okay.
All right. Well, at least he took it well. Tough love. Mark?
Yes.
You're 24.
Yeah.
And let me just say something about this show very quickly. We have no idea where anyone is calling from, and we like it that way. I don't see why there should be a difference between where you live and what your problem is and why it makes a difference to us. And all those other national talk shows that do that, East of the Rockies or Poughkeepsie, you're on the line. They're just jacking themselves off. Who cares where the person is calling from? Once in a while, it factors in, and if it does, we'll ask.
Yeah, we ask.
Other than that, just assume everyone's calling from your hometown.
Works for me.
All right. What's up, Mark?
All right. I've been working at this new place for about 5 months now, and I bounce there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten to be really good friends with one of the girls there. And her boyfriend's really abusive to her. both verbally, and I came home the other night on a Sunday, and I pulled in my driveway, and her car was there, and he slapped her around a little bit, and so it's like...
Her car was in your driveway?
Yeah, she found out where... She talked to a couple of the other guys about where we work, and we've, like, she can talk to me just about anything.
So and she knows where you live?
She does now, yeah.
Okay, so she found out where you lived and sort of went to seek some shelter over at your place?
Yeah, because he slapped her around.
Okay. And, what kind of place you work at?
Mail establishment.
Mm, okay, here we go.
Music to strip by.
You guys sort mail? Oh, I see.
Yeah. And I thought you said he slapped around because her car was in your driveway.
No, he slapped around and then she came to
my house. She sort of fled to his house.
And
okay.
So, I mean, basically, like, we talked all night and stuff like that, and, I mean... She can come to me for anything, and I mean, I'd walk through hell in a gasoline suit for this girl. And do I twist this kid's head off, or do I tell her how I feel, or what?
You're into her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ain't it kind of weird, Mark, when you're really, like, talking to a girl, and she's crying, and she's talking about her boyfriend, and you're thinking... I want to nail her so bad, and she's going. But all you're doing is nodding and agreeing and going, no, he's horrible. No, you got to get yourself out, and you're thinking, take your panties off. I mean, you want to do essentially worse. I mean, at least sexually to her than he was doing.
That's the two things. Like, one, I don't understand why she stays with him, or why girls look for that.
All right, let me explain here, Mark. Right. I'm guessing she comes from a little chaos, and she's used to it, and she probably needs it in her own sort of twisted way. Uh-huh. I mean, it's not necessarily about what you like; it's just familiar to a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And so, is this a topless place?
It depends on where you are.
Bottomless?
Downstairs.
Oh, downstairs?
Well, it's a two-story club.
That makes sense. So, if you go down the basement, you get to see the basement?
Yeah.
You go upstairs, see the top?
Yeah.
All right, so and she works at both levels, huh?
Lower level.
Lower level.
Yeah.
All right, so that's kind of what I call extreme stripping.
Yeah.
There's probably a little chaos she comes from, and she's probably pretty chaotic. And I know she's good-looking, but she's a handful, Mark. Believe me, she's a handful. She didn't get into this relationship with the abusive guy because it's a coincidence.
Uh-huh.
At all. I guarantee, I'm not saying she deserves it, I'm not saying she likes it. I'm saying you are sort of her life raft, uh-huh. And you may be good for a little while, but she's going to start weaving some chaos into your relationship eventually, too.
Right.
And, if you want some sex, you want to have some good times, whatever, get her out of this relationship, maybe convince her to get out of it. But you start up with her and call back in 6 months and then tell us why you're beating the crap out of her. You know what I'm saying? Because she will get that out of you.
Really?
That's what she knows.
So just back off.
Well, put it this way. What woman wouldn't leave a guy immediately who raised his hand to her that way? Unless he was a big celebrity like Rob Zombie or myself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
A woman who sort of needed that dance, needed that chaos, needed that drama. And you're just getting woven into the whole drama.
Yeah.
You're just cast as a sympathetic bouncer. Okay?
So back off then.
I'm saying...
Going with your eyes open.
Put a rubber on him. Rubber on, have a good time, keep your eyes open, and learn from it. But if you're sort of... weaving a fantasy about her, it's not true. You're going to find out a lot of stuff about her, and you're going to be in for a rocky, chaotic ride.
Right.
And some of the best sex of your life.
Right.
Because we all know the crazy chicks really put out sexually. I don't know what that is. What is that? What is that connection between insanity and really putting out?
I'm not sure that's there.
It is. You know it is. Come on. The crazier you are as a woman, the better you are sexually. And as a man, too. Oh, yes.
I'm not sure.
Yes. You know what I'm saying, Rob?
The more
right?
compulsive you are that way.
Well, whatever's driving your ass, whatever the steam behind your ass is, it's pushing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you show me a woman who's stripping, a woman whose daddy slapped around a little, and I'm going to show you a crazy sexual woman. There's going to be some highs and some lows, but I'll show you some wild love. You agreeing?
Yeah, but it could be so disconnected. You know what I mean?
That's the best kind. What are you talking about?
Of that kind, probably.
Thank you. All right, Rob Zombie is our guest. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we will talk to Denise. Denise is 23, disagrees with the idea that you shouldn't meet biological parents. Also has a HIV question. So we'll get to all that after this. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Rob Zombie is our guest tonight. He's got a maze that he designed, and that's over at Universal Studios for the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And you want to get your tickets because they're selling out over there. And also,
there's lots of other good stuff too. Clive Barker has one he built, and a bunch of other things.
Oh, he does.
So it's not just
Well, we like Clive.
A lot of things going on.
Clive is not a scary man, though. He may think scary thoughts, but he is a. Gay Arnold Perry, and he's a Brit who's the most civilized guy you'll ever... I'm sure you've met Clive Barker.
Actually, I haven't met him.
Oh, you haven't?
Oh, he's a nice guy.
Oh, he's the world's nicest, most unassuming, friendliest,
that's what
genteel
they always say.
Sort of guy. Yep, that's right. That's what they say about the neighbors. I always interview the neighbors. Hey, did you have any idea he could do this kind of damage with a shotgun? No, he kept to himself. He was
very clean and punctual.
Very punctual. He was quiet. But he was very punctual and clean. I always want the answer where the guy goes, yeah, I knew it was only a matter of time before Herb took out half the neighborhood with
a
shotgun.
That's why I moved.
That's why I moved. Actually, the realtor told us about Herb. That's why we got a break on the condo. All right. Denise.
Yes.
You're 23. What's going on?
Yeah. I heard your comments earlier about the adoption girl who was adopted and everything, and that she shouldn't find, you know,
her biological parents.
Correct.
Well, let me just explain my position on this. A lot of people who are adopted become obsessed with finding their biological parents. And to me, A, it's a little slap in the face of the people that spent all the time, the money, the effort, and the love, theoretically, into you, and then you turn 16 or 17 and you become obsessed with finding the alcoholic that dropped you off 15, 16 years ago.
Not if they help you, though.
That's number one. What if they help you?
If you're, like, because I was adopted. My twin sister and I were adopted twice. And since I turned 18, and even before then, but mainly after 18, we've searched, and my mom has been a big help in it.
Okay, but why... If you have to search for your mom, you know what I mean? Just really think about that concept for a second. I am going to scour the globe looking for my mother.
How can you not be disappointed at the end of that search?
You know what I'm saying? Unless you find her in a closet chained to a radiator, saying, thank God someone has come for help. It's been 18 years. I mean, anything short of that, I'm pissed.
No, but sometimes you can't help the reasons why you have to give up your children for adoption. They have good reasons out there. I mean, it's an alternative.
Right,
to
I know. The people come and they take you.
Well,
okay.
You guys talk a lot about abortion.
All right.
Abortion.
Okay, so you find them, but then what? What happens when you find them?
Well, you can develop relationships. They will never take the place of the parents that have raised you now, but still you can develop a relationship with them and be friends.
Did you do that? Did you find your biological mother?
No, I'm in the process. My twin and I are still. Also, the other comment is that...
How do you do it, though? I mean, do you hire a service or
isn't
something?
Isn't it hard enough dealing with one set of parents?
That's true. It's like you need another set.
You really want more?
Well, no, it's not. You're looking for another parent because I've had numerous parents through the years. But it's just a... You know, you sit in a group and people are like, oh, well, I'm Italian, I'm this and that, you know? It's just a search for your background, you know? It's just to find
right, but when you find out that your background chain smokes and lives in a trailer, it's very disappointing.
Could be, but they
could
change their lives.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying be prepared.
Yeah, I understand. I just want to say, and also that not all kids that have been adopted have emotional problems for the rest of their life.
Right, we said that. We stated that.
Well, we never said... Yeah,
you were sort of alluding to that a little bit, so I corrected that.
I was? All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
I was saying if you get adopted late in life, that's rough because that means it's one thing when your mom drops you off at the hospital where you're born and another family raises you from basically day one. Mm-hmm. It's another thing, I believe, in a child's development to be raised for 2, 3, 4, 5 mm-hmm. years and then taken away and sent to another family. Oh, that's got to leave some scars.
Oh, it does. My twin and I, we were back when we were first born. We were back and forth with our biological mom. Mm. There was a lot of abuse and everything else, but she kept wanting to take us back and give it another try.
All right. Well, and so you finally, do know your biological mom.
That was until we were 3. Uh-huh. And then we were put into a foster home. And at 4, we were adopted into a family.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kept us for 4 years and then gave us up for adoption again.
Mm. Oh,
and
boy.
So we were adopted again at age 8, almost 9 years of age. And we're with the family now.
Hey, yes.
They're not, you know, my life may be a script, but my twin sister's, perfectly normal. I mean, she's getting married in 3 weeks. She's happy as ever, you know. And
I give it a month. I'd like to talk to her.
So a guy who's demanding she have threesomes.
Denise, listen to me. Here's all I'd like. Here's what I'd like out of you in your life. And I know you're not going to do this, but this is my fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
My fantasy is that all the time, effort, and money that you're putting into tracking down your biological mom, the one who abused you and sent you into foster care, put that money into therapy. You'll have a much better life.
I'm not putting money into it.
Okay, effort and time. Because I think you think something is going to get checked off a list that is not going to get checked off. I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that seeing your mother, your biological mother at age 23, is going to fix about her dumping you off at the foster place at 3 years old. There's nothing that's going to fix
now. And it's interesting she mentioned, they could turn their lives around. The ones I've dealt with that turn their lives around, have another family, and are not overwhelmingly happy when the old life sort of re-enters.
Right.
You know, they did turn their life around, and they went to leave the rest of it behind.
Right, yeah. That's another good one. She probably lied to her next husband about you. Oh, that's going to be good. Anyway, I'm just saying, I think there's, like, emotional red herrings that people get obsessed with. Soon as I tell my parents I'm gay, everything's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Soon as I find my biological mother, everything's going to be great. The reality is, get into some therapy, work out a few of your problems, and stop looking around.
Mm-hmm.
All right? As a matter of fact, I don't recommend that people leave the house. Unless they're going out to Universal Studios to go through the maze. Michelle?
Yeah?
You're 16.
Yeah, what's up?
What's going on?
Just want to say what's up to Rob. I saw you at two concerts.
Yeah. Where'd you see him?
At two concerts, the Korn and Ozzfest.
Yeah.
Kick ass.
Cool, thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, well, my problem is I've been drawing these pictures. Like, it was mostly, last year and stuff. And I was going through a lot. And I was drawing pictures and stuff, like, nothing, like, with sex in it or anything, but kind of like flames and stuff, and it was really dark.
Mm-hmm.
But I mostly did them when I was like high and stuff. I don't do that anymore. I don't like smoke pot or nothing.
Right.
But it was mostly like last year, and I can't draw them anymore. But my friends like really liked them. They're like, oh, you know, that's cool and everything, and you know, should you know, come more into like the artistic.
Well, what were they drawings of?
Mostly like flames and, like, really, like, dark flames and stuff. I mean, there are different ones. I've only drawn 3, and then there's these other pictures that I drew.
Yeah.
And they're kind of, like, weird pictures. Like, I would put hidden messages in them.
Yeah, like with where the dogs were playing cards or something?
No.
No?
It was more like,
passing the ace under the table.
It kind of looked like a little maze or something, but you have to, like, look at it carefully to find a...
Well, that's fascinating.
But, like, I don't know. I want to know if it's, like, something coming out of, like...
Well, Rob, we were just admiring Rob's artwork.
I'm still drawing those pictures.
We really were, and I stopped drawing many years. The last thing I drew had a tank tread on it, you know what I mean? Like, I used to sit around and draw half tracks. That was like, I spent my entire childhood drawing things with tank treads on them, and then I eventually graduated into not drawing at all. But Rob, and I don't know, Michelle, do you have some of Rob's CDs?
No, sorry to say, but I mean...
All right, listen, go out and get the new CD. is American-made music to strip by. It's coming out tomorrow. Yeah. And this thing is just chock full of beautiful, beautiful artwork.
Okay.
And maybe it'll inspire you. But, Rob, what about you when you do this work? Do you sit down and say, I'm going to draw, or is it just sort of hit you?
I guess it just hits me. I mean, you know, I always drew. I mean, you know, I always look at it like every little kid draws. Every kid busts out the crayons. And then somewhere around third grade, most kids start losing interest.
Right.
And you notice that the kids that stop, that's the level they draw at until they're like 80 years old. They will still draw little stick figures.
Well, I'll draw a half track here.
Yeah, but it looks exactly the same as the one you drew in
third grade.
It's a
little worse because I'm out of practice, really. But, yeah, there's the tank tread there. And then the front's got the regular truck wheel on it. You know, the half track. I think I was heavily, like some people are influenced by Cezanne or De Gaulle, or I'm trying to...
heavily influenced by dump trucks.
I was Monet or something. I was influenced by Rat Patrol.
that and the classic Army Man.
Army Man and half track.
Yeah.
Or the little planes and you make them bomb on the notebook paper.
Yeah, once in a while. Yeah. Or actually, some of my best work was done to the peachy folder with the guys running track. The guy in the back, instead of the baton, was holding a dagger. The guy in front was running from him, but he was dressed in gang attire, you know? All right, hey, Michelle?
Yeah?
Are you depressed?
I don't know. Like,
I'm not sure
stuff,
what the question is.
A lot of stuff is going on. And I recently just stopped smoking, like, pot, and, like, that's why I can't really draw the picture. It was mostly when I was, like, high, you know?
Right.
And the reason why I smoke pot is because I guess I was, like, really upset with things.
All right, well, listen, sometimes people express their feelings through their art, and if you don't...
I feel like maybe something's wrong with me, and maybe I gotten it out or something.
Well, maybe, all right, maybe nothing's wrong with you now. You spilled it all out on the canvas.
But I feel like I...
All right, listen, hey, Michelle?
Yeah?
We got people ODing on heroin. I don't got time to go through your notebook. Understand? If you want to draw, fine. If not, screw you. Don't draw. Jesus. Austin.
Song. Hey, man.
Hey, Austin.
Yeah?
We're going to hear a song.
Okay.
All right?
That's cool.
You want to know when Rob's going to be touring again?
Yeah.
All right. I'll tell you what. Okay. He won't tell
you. Keep you in suspense for 3.5 minutes.
Right. And this is, finally, we'll get a opportunity.
Now we'll play the song we said we already played.
That's right. How to Make a Monster.
Maybe.
But it's Dr. Drew. Rob Zombie's our guest tonight. Adam Goldberg will be in here tomorrow night. And Rob's remix CD that you heard a couple of songs off of will be out starting tomorrow. Yes, that's
available in 15 minutes.
Midnight tonight. We'll get back to the phones and see if we can't
hello?
Get burned through a few calls. Carmen, you're 15. What's up?
Yeah. Hey, Rob?
Yeah.
Okay, I saw you in Bakersfield with Korn.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Your show was awesome. I mean, I was on floor. I was hoping maybe I could, you know, they throw out picks and drumsticks. I was hoping I could get one. Oh, my God, that show was awesome. It, like, blew me away.
Did you get a pick or a drumstick?
Yeah, like, you know how they're crazy in the mosh pits and stuff that, like, kill you just when they throw it out?
Yeah. I went to a Plasmatics concert when I was, like, 16 and got half a guitar once. Oh, that was rock and roll.
Yeah, you got to really want it.
Yeah. I just went to the Family Values, and Family Values had nothing on your show. I wanted to know, like, how do you come up with that, like, you know, that stage that you had for Rock is Dead?
I don't know. You know, I don't know how I come up with anything. It just comes to me. I just have a million ideas that I want to do and just try to find the time to do them.
Let me
kind of goes back to what we were talking about before. I had all these ideas when I was in the third grade. I'm just getting around to doing them.
And Rob's what you call an artistic guy, and it's, you know, people seem to think, well, he'll just explain how the idea came to him, and then you can just go ahead and use that same technique.
Right.
So you can start a band. But it doesn't really work that way. Marie?
Hi.
Hey, you're 21.
Sorry.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, so my friend Ann and I believe I've had orgasms, I mean, to the best of my knowledge, but my friend Ann claims she's never had one. Never.
Yeah.
So... And she's been with this guy for, like, 2 years, and they broke up, and she's had other guys, but still, not a one. And so we've been debating exactly how can you tell if you've had an orgasm? And I've heard that there are different levels of the female orgasm, like there's the clitoral, and then there's the, you know, G-spot, if that really, you know, exists. And so I don't know if you can help clarify this. How can you tell as a woman if you've had one or not?
If you have to ask, you haven't.
Right.
that's what I keep hearing.
Yeah. So
I'm thinking it's like, you know, you get the whole lightheaded, dizzy, fluttery eyes thing.
No, you would know.
You would know.
Yeah.
There's multiple contractions of the pelvic musculature associated with a release and euphoria. And I mean, it's a very intense experience. It's not something that people would have to question or examine.
But Marie, it's not like you sit there with a clipboard and you're checking checking things off the list. You just either have or you haven't, and you would know.
Okay.
So I'm going with you haven't.
Oh, man.
As Drew said, if you have to ask. That's all right. You're 21. There's still plenty of time.
Yeah, but that means so like I must have been faking it this whole time when I thought I have.
No, you're having women have a much more fuller experience without an orgasm than a man. Without it is in a difficult.
The only thing that's good about sex for a man before the orgasm is the impending orgasm. You know what I mean? Like if you were humping away and someone told you, "Hey, this is going to be a dry run," you'd be like,
up.
"All right, that's it. I'm watching TV." I mean, you really think about it. It feels real good, but part of that feel real good part is the payday at the end. And women can sort of enjoy themselves straight through.
Right.
Although some of them may not hit that spike at the very end that we have.
Especially a little before the age of 21. It's real common for them difficulty achieving that.
Matt?
Yeah.
You're 16. What's up?
Yeah. Well, I'll just be friends with a girl and all of a sudden I'll become attracted to them. With every girl it happens.
Yeah, well, you were attracted to them before you became friends. You're just too big a pussy to ask them out.
No, because, I mean, it's like with everybody. Every girl, I'll talk to them. It's like I'm attracted to them.
Yeah, I'm just saying you become friends with them because you don't want to ask them out.
Yeah, well, I don't...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you were talking about that the other night. I mean,
well, listen, Matt, you're attracted to these girls, and you always were, right?
Yeah, I guess.
You don't just don't just become attracted to women 3 months into a relationship.
Well, I mean, when you're 16, you're pretty much attracted to any girl that's going to talk to you.
Yeah, or even ones that won't. But, Matt, here's what you got to do. You have to ask them out before it gets too weird.
Right.
That's the problem. I mean, it's something that you don't learn when you're 16. Your impulse at 16 is establish any kind of relationship with this person I can.
Yeah.
So if I ask them for their phone number so I can ask them out on a date, I may not get their phone number. If I ask them for their phone number so I can come over there and detail their car, I'm going to get a phone number.
Help them with math.
And I'll just take it a step at a time, but you end up shooting yourself in the foot.
Because 2 months later, she's like, "Can you introduce me to Steve?"
Yeah. Right.
Nice you were to do my car. Would you do that again?
Right. Now, you know, they say you're supposed to change the oil every 3,000 miles. And Amy?
Yes?
You're 15. What's up?
I'm dating a 13-year-old, and my mom says it's a little too young. He's, like, a little too young for me.
What are you doing with him?
Just dating him.
Are you screwing around with him?
Not really. It's just that my dad says it's okay, because he's, like, 30.
Yeah. Your dad wants you to
relieved.
Date. Dad wants you to do what?
He's, like, 46, and my mom's, like, 35.
Interesting.
And
right.
I don't know, she says when we're walking together, he looks like my little brother because he's short and I'm taller than him a little bit. Or it looks like I'm babysitting. And it kind of makes me feel bad because I like him a lot.
Well, your mom's clearly busting your chops. And I think your dad has the right idea, which is, and seriously, let's all answer the question. You have a 15-year-old girl. You want her going out with a 17-year-old guy or a 13-year-old guy?
Exactly.
Well, they don't.
Going 13.
My limit's 18, but I just, like, have a lot of common things with him. It's just,
yeah, all right.
I don't know. I feel bad. I don't want to feel like a rapist or anything. I don't.
Nah.
I mean, yeah, I do kiss him.
Okay. Listen, I think your mom's taking something that's semi-genuine here and making you feel pretty bad about it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't sleep. I mean, I don't know. I just, like, every time I whiff him, I just, like, get second thoughts. Like, should I break up with him?
So why don't you tell your dad to talk to your mom?
Yeah, I mean, it's like 10 years difference between their relationship. And
don't worry about their age. Just tell your dad to talk to your mom, okay?
Yeah, I just find it so hard because...
I understand. Tell your dad to talk to your mom and take some of the heat off. And he should really explain his strategy. And any man worth his weight in salt will see the apparent advantage to this. You want a guy who's pulling up in a van with a 40-ouncer Schlitz between his legs and, you know,
jamming the REO speed wagon.
Jamming the speed wagon and doing like a burnout because his horn's broken. Or do you want some guy showing up who's bald as a cue ball downstairs with a retainer in his mouth who does that big slurp inhale in between each time? And like saying, and calling Amy's mom, Amy's mom. Yeah. Hey, Amy's mom, can Amy come out? That's what you want. You want as many of those years. Listen, you should be 25 and dating a 13-year-old, right, Drew?
Mm.
Yes. All right. We will we'll take a quick break,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be back with more Rob Zombie.